move on to the fifth case of the morning, Lewis against Zeikert Cleaners.
May you please the court? Counsel? My name is Richard LaSalvia. I represent Pamela Lewis, who was employed at Zeikert Cleaners in South Bend, Indiana for 22 years. She has brought a race and age discrimination claim against Zeikert Cleaners. The district court granted summary judgment on behalf of Zeikert Cleaners because she failed to meet a burden as to the issues under the McDonnell-Douglas burden shifting to establish a prima facie case of race and age discrimination. The issue of whether or not she was meeting the legitimate expectations of her employment and whether similarly situated employees not in the protected class were treated more harshly. In my brief, I relied heavily on this Gordon versus United Airlines decision by Judge Ripple. I believe that the facts in that case relate very much to my case and should be applied, and for other reasons cited in my brief, district court's ruling should be overturned. This case really turns on the issue of how do we define the reason why Pamela Lewis was terminated.
Now, let me ask you, Mr. LaSalvia, you mentioned one other person who maybe was having some performance problems, but she solves them. Or at least I didn't find any evidence in the record of slipping back again, which appears to have happened to Miss Lewis. You know, she improves for a little while, but then she slips below. And in the absence of evidence like that, it's hard for me to see how you can either attack what the employer defines as its performance expectations or how you can show that there's somebody comparable in all relevant respects to Miss Lewis with the exception of race or age and show that there's discrimination.
I do it this way, Your Honor. I do it by attacking the very definition of why Ms. Lewis was terminated. She was terminated for the reasons that Zeikert claimed that she was not meeting the production quota.
Right, but they say in their brief that this production quota, this 64%, is itself a real break. I mean, there's really this 100% quota, and you don't have any evidence to countermand that.
Well, I'd like to point out that the fact that this quota was never communicated to any other employee, was never published to any other employees.
But
this was arbitrary
and capricious. She was frequently told that she wasn't performing up to
standard.
But when there's a long history of conversations and warnings that you're not meeting productivity standards, does the fact of a number matter that much?
Well, the fact of the number matters a lot because this number or this quota, for the reason that she's being terminated, is not applied to anybody else within the factory. They have not really
better than that.
Well, for example, in Gordon, United Airlines never really successfully convinced the court what was meant by unauthorized deviation, even though technically under the rules, the employee may have violated this. In this case, there was really no showing who's making the decision as to what production quota the employee actually has to meet. This is never communicated to the employee at any time, to the other employees. And, that very fact at least raises inference in the light most favorable to Pamela Lewis that other employees are treated less harshly than Pamela Lewis was treated.
How big is how many employees are there?
A few hundred employees.
This is a cleaners in South Bend?
It's a cleaners. It's a dry cleaner. She was a production employee for 22 years.
How formalized do these sorts of things have to be in a company like this as opposed to Verizon or something like that?
Well, if you set up rules, you would think that there would be a definition of what rule or what standard that an employee has to meet. And this employee decided that all the employees had to meet a production quota, but they don't tell anyone what that production quota is.
But my question is maybe more fundamental. If the employer is saying to a person, you are not meeting our expectations, without regard to any quota or anything, you need some reason to suspect that those expectations themselves are flawed. And that's where I come back to the lack of any person similarly situated to Ms. Lewis.
As in Gordon, no other employee had ever been discharged for not meeting production quota.
Who committed the same offense, but that's the problem. No one else at this cleaner was the same as Ms. Lewis in that no one else failed to mend their ways.
But what is the way? What exactly is the standard?
When told you're not doing enough, they somehow satisfy.
Well, but at this stage of litigation, we're talking simply trying to meet a prima facie case.
Well,
of
I know, but where's your comparable?
The comparable is if you look at Gordon, exactly the same factual situation is present. No one was ever fired for deviation, unauthorized deviation, for a flight attendant. No other employee was ever warned.
Well, but Gordon says you have to find an employee who's similarly situated, who has the same problem, but was not given the adverse employment action. That's where that part of your case is what I'm having trouble with.
Well, the problem is we don't have a standard here that we can actually measure employee by employee because it's an arbitrary...
Well, then you don't have Gordon then because you need to find some other case.
Well, no, because Gordon actually says that the standard was never defined either. And the fact that the standard is not defined, that is in itself could be evidence that you cannot really determine whether or not the employee is meeting the expectations of the employer, and actually could be kind of made up as an excuse, as a pretext, if you will, for firing an employee. So I think that's why Gordon is so important to the facts of this case. The fact that there was no other employee ever fired for not meeting the production.
What evidence do you have that she's the only one told about 64% production rate? Did you
take
depositions?
Yes, I took the deposition of her supervisor, and the supervisor said, actually, that this 64% was only communicated to Pamela Lewis personally, herself, no other employee. That's on page 18 and 19.
The question, though, is was there any... If everybody else is performing at 100% of what this management consultant company came up with is a reasonable expectation, you have this one woman who's performing at 194 or whatever it was, percent. Why would there have been a conversation? See, what evidence is there in the record, other than the 100% record that she's, expectation that she's well below? What evidence is there in the record?
Because they never published any standards, what the standards were for each piece of production, what type of clothing for everyone to follow. This was simply something that each supervisor kind of on an ad hoc basis, decided, what the production level was going to be. At least that's the inference for a trier of fact to determine at some point, not at the summary judgment level. I mean, and Gordon, since United Airlines was not able to articulate what they call a distinct inability on the part of United's management to provide a consistent definition of unauthorized deviation, which was the reason for the flight attendant's dismissal in Gordon, for the very same reason in this case, Zeiger Cleaners has not really been able to come up with a consistent definition or standard of what production level the employee Pamela Lewis had to meet or any other employee had to meet. That erases inference.
Rebuttal time if you
Thank
want
you.
To save anything.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Sure. Mr. Merkin.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm David Merkin of South Bend, Indiana. I represent the employer Zeiger Cleaners. As this court well knows, there's two ways that Mrs. Lewis could prove either race or age discrimination. One is by direct evidence, and there's none of that in the record other than the discussion regarding that. One gentleman who allegedly didn't give her any shirts, and the briefs adequately address why that argument isn't persuasive, and Mr. LaSalvia did not this morning argue that there is direct evidence. His argument was primarily focused on the McDonnell-Douglas traditional burden-shifting test. He spent a great deal of time talking about the second element as to whether she met the department production standards. Replete through his argument was the assertion, unsupported by the record, that there are no actual department production standards and that these are just somehow ad hoc thrown out there. In fact, they're subject of a collective bargaining agreement attached to Mr. Mertis's affidavit. The operations manager for Zyker Cleaners is the page from the collective bargaining agreement in which a specific provision was adopted in 2002 as paragraph 14 that specifically provided an agreement between the union and Zyker Cleaners as to how Zyker Cleaners would discharge employees who do not meet department production standards. Furthermore, Ms. Lewis...
But was that... I thought that was a procedural... It doesn't say, like, 10 shirts and 5 draperies or...
Right. And those departments...
I guess his point is, how are they supposed to know
when
they're not doing enough of any particular thing?
And those standards are set by an independent industrial engineer, as the fact showed, who was hired by Zyker.
Right, workers, but is that communicated to the workers, or is that a management
tool? Of course it is. What happens is there's some confusion over the word publish here, where one of our employees is asked whether the standards are published. And I don't know how he interpreted the word publish, but clearly the standards had to be communicated to the employees. The employees kept daily time cards. Ms. Lewis herself testified that she was very familiar with the system for keeping track of the garments that she did and how she would input data for downtime. It makes no sense that these time cards would be kept unless there were standards that had to be met. Also attached to Mr. Mertis's affidavit are some statements showing the production of the department that Ms. Lewis was in and how her standard was far lower. And then lastly, and most...
So everybody knew that this other lady was an extraordinary performer, the one who was...
Yes, certainly. This is common knowledge in the facility. There's 25 people, as Mr. Mertis's affidavit points out, in this one particular department that Ms. Lewis was in. They all know each other. They all know what they're doing. They're all part of teams. The teams are assigned an average. Ms. Lewis's team was assigned an average of only 64% because she was dragging everybody else down. Zyker Cleaners, frankly, out of the goodness of their hearts, told her that you're a long-term employee. All you got to do is meet a lower standard than anybody else in this facility. She couldn't do it 3 times. They gave her a written warning. They gave her a 3-day suspension. And finally, they had to let her go. There's no evidence in the record that anything in this process had something to do with her status as an African-American or her status as being over 40 years of age. And Ms. Lewis, to her credit, when asked, specifically said that she had no evidence. And I quote that in my brief, where she said she had no evidence to support a race claim, no evidence to support an age claim, no evidence that Mr. Rueda was allegedly treating her badly for any particular reason, and no evidence that anyone, including her supervisor at Zyker, was prejudiced. If the court has no further questions, I'll rest then.
All right. Apparently not. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
We will see if Mr. LaSalvia has a final comment or two.
Briefly, Your Honor, I'd just like to refer to Mr. Mertis's deposition, the appendix in my brief, page 18. And he's asked specifically, was there a published standard that employees had, like Pam Lewis, had to meet? One standard for all employees? No, there is no standard. And the collective bargaining agreement that he refers to says that an employee may be terminated for not meeting production standards, but there's no standard that anyone can really know about. If no one knows about, how can it be fairly applied? And how do we know it was fairly applied to this case? And that's why Gordon is so important, because the court, Judge Ripple, spends a good deal of time discussing what unauthorized deviation means for a flight attendant, because there was no definition actually put forward by United Airlines. And for that reason, how can we determine at this stage of litigation whether or not this particular employee was meeting the legitimate expectations of her employment? And secondly, as to the issue of whether other similarly situated employees were treated less harshly, the court also in Gordon took great deference to the fact that no other employee at United had ever been fired for this, had never been warned or disciplined for this, and for the same reason applies to this case with Zyker Cleaners. The only other employee who had been warned was under 40 and was allowed to retain her employment. And if you look at the record, it's very clear that Ms. Lewis every time that she fell below what they claimed to be low production, she always increased her production. So I think there's at least issues of material fact. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.